It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome, ladies. For today's lesson, I've entitled it, What is a False Convert? This is going to be more introduction of 1 John. I know you're probably saying, Lori, get on with it. Let's get into 1 John. Well, what I'm doing is I'm prepping us as we go into the book and how we're going to look at ourselves in light of all of those tests. So I'm really wanting us to set the stage and see what the theme is of this book, what the principles are that we really need to understand, who John was and why he wrote this and how he wrote this. And I just think it's critical that we really set all of this up before we dive into the book of 1 John head on. Because if we don't have a grasp of what it is we're going to be looking at and what it is we're trying to figure out and apply to our lives from this book, I think we're going to miss some really valuable lessons. So that's why I'm taking a lot of time before we actually plumb the depths of the book and just kind of set everything up as to what is a true convert, what is a false convert, what is it we need to be looking at in ourselves to make these tests applicable to our lives. So that's why I'm taking so much time with all of this, and I hope that it's really blessing you as we go through this. So what I'm going to do for this lesson, like I said, I entitled it, What is a False Convert? So this topic is really dealt with a lot in the Sermon on the Mount. And the reason why I kind of keep going back between the two is because John basically starts to reiterate everything that we see in the Sermon on the Mount relating to false converts. He uses a lot of that parallel and those concepts in the book of 1 John. So I think it's real critical that we go back and forth between these passages in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, pretty much starting anywhere around verse 15 all the way through verse 27. I would like for you to really look into those and kind of see what that Sermon on the Mount is actually saying about false converts. So for our passage that I'm going to kind of talk about to start us off on this false convert topic is Matthew, and it's going to be, we're going to start here in 7, and then we're going to start at verses 24. Let me read this to you. I'm going to go all the way through 27. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. This is going to be talking about the parables of the two builders, and I think this is just really interesting for us to look at this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What we're seeing here is the house represents a religious life, and the rain is representing divine judgment. These houses, these two men had built their houses in the same area, used the same materials, same location. Everything outwardly looked very similar, if not identical in some regards. But one person chose to build on strong foundation. They took the time to actually not be hasty, but to look at architectural designs, what would be the best foundation for this house so it would withstand the rains, meaning a true Christian building upon the Word of God, able to stand against the trials of life. The other house did not. They were hasty and they went through it very impatiently, did not build their house on the proper foundation, which we know is the structure of a home, and will actually topple if storms and things like that come against it. So we can see here, we've got a true convert and a false convert is kind of what this parallel is telling us. So how that connects into 1 John is 1 John is going to tell us what a false convert looks like and what a true convert looks like. Essentially, it's giving us the test so we can compare ourselves and see which one we are. So I think this is really important, like I said, to keep looking back at these passages in the Sermon on the Mount as you consider to apply these tests to your life. What I'm going to do is I'm going to actually go through and look at some characteristics and attributes of a false convert in light of that passage that we just read. And as we prepare to examine ourselves for the test later in 1 John that we'll start getting to. And then in our next lesson, I'm going to cover what is a true convert look like. So this week, we're going to look at false conversion. Next study, we'll look at true conversion. So what we're going to do here is, here we go, I'm going to outline what are some of the characteristics of a false convert. You can definitely take notes on this, and I'm going to kind of do them in a list form, so that may help. Overall, the general mentality of a pseudo-Christian, a false professor, false believer, false convert, they can be listed as all of those things. They're very impatient, very, very impatient, very much in a great big hurry, and they're not wanting to build upon a strong foundation. They are wanting to just get it done and get it over with. Let me just keep on moving. I don't want to learn anything through this. I just want to build my house, I want to put it up and be done, rather than actually taking the time to see what is involved. So being impatient and being in a great hurry is one of the characteristics. Number two, that everything revolves around him. They basically want all of the blessings and what they can get. So I'm sure we all know people like this. They're basically there for the goodies. Kind of how the people, whenever Christ was feeding them, they were all there because they were getting fed. Whenever those miracles and the foods, you know, stopped being produced, they left. They were nowhere to be found. And so this is kind of that same mentality of, you know, everything is all about them. They're out to please themselves. They basically, they just want to listen to them, their own selves, and have everything revolve around them. So that is very interesting, because I think we see that even in the church. We see people like that in the church who are out for what they can get and not to be there to share their spiritual gifts and make use of their time and energy and their gifts within the church. So the third one is, he picks out what he likes and ignores the rest. Basically, this is referring to parts of scripture, the whole teaching of God and the word of God. And what this is, they don't like to hear about things like judgment and sin and the justice of God. They don't like that. They want to concentrate on what appeals to them. So they want to just, you know, talk about the love of God, but not, you know, the wrath of God. And I'm going to actually read this portion here that is from Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says, he thinks that he knows all about John 3:16, but he does not even read that properly. He emphasizes a portion of it, but he does not like the idea of should not perish. He does not go to the end of that same third chapter where it says, the wrath of God abideth on him. That he does not believe, and he does not like that. He is interested in the love of God and in forgiveness. He is interested, in other words, in everything that gives him the feeling of comfort and happiness and joy and peace within. So whether consciously or unconsciously, he picks and chooses as he reads the Bible. Do you know someone like that? Have you maybe done that yourselves, where you want to stay away from those scary passages, the ones that say, you know, Lord, Lord, we did all these wonderful things in your name, but he says, depart from me, I never knew you. It's a scary verse, but we can't shy away from that. We have to read the tough verses that are in the Bible. And so the false convert doesn't like to do that. They just want to focus on the soft, easy, comfortable passages. So the fourth one is, they don't like offensive passages. They don't take the full counsel of God. They don't balance the two, love and wrath. So that's really important. This personality does not like to hear about the wrath of God. And when they're witnessing, they may actually leave that out. They will just, you know, it's the whole, God has a wonderful plan for your life. There's just wonderful things if you come to Christ. Coming to Christ is cool and hip and fun. And yes, I've actually heard that. So that is typical of a false believer. The next one is, he wants comfort, and basically that's kind of their idol. They want all things that are going to be comfortable. They don't want to be unhappy. They don't want to be in any discomfort, and so which leads to why they don't like trials and they don't bear up under those. True converts bear up under trials, even though they're not fun and they're hard to go through. A true convert will actually bear up under it and come out, you know, holy and sanctified from it. A false convert, however, they just want the idolatry of the comfort cow. They want to look to things that will make them feel good. So that's why they are often found in these churches where there's not a preaching of sin and hell and those hard topics. They don't want to hear that because they want to be comfortable in their sin. Do you know someone like that? Do you know someone who gets uncomfortable and offended if you confront them with scripture about a sin that they might be in? That's something to look at. The next one is that we're going to look at of a false convert. They basically don't like to focus on sin or its effects. They just want to ignore it. So, you know, there's passages in the Bible where it's talking about with David and other great heroes of the faith like that, and it's showing how they fell into gross sin. And it's there so that we can see how sin can drag us down and then learn from that. The false professor does not like that. They don't want to hear about sin leading to tragedy and the fall of a person. So they'll stay away from passages like that. So they hate the sin. They hate the doctrine of sin and they avoid it. And they just basically want everything their way. No trials, no strife. And they're easily frustrated with life's ups and downs. So I hope that gives you a good understanding of what a false convert looks like. You know, they are going to avoid the full counsel of God, essentially, is what this is coming to. Because if you read the full counsel of God, you won't be able to cherry pick verses. And you won't be able to read them out of their context. And that's what a false convert does. They don't want to hear the hard truths of the gospel, but there's also wonderful truths. And we as believers realize those things, that trials are hard, but with trials and suffering, out of it can come the greatest dependence on God that we've ever done in our life. And so I want you to remember that even though there are hard things to read and go through in life as a believer, they're there to sanctify us. A false believer, false professor, does not understand that. They don't want to do the heavy lifting and the hard work of what it means to be a follower of Christ. So I hope this kind of gives you a good introduction of what a false convert is. And next time we will look at what a true convert is, and we'll go through some of those, and you can continue to line yourself up against these different traits and characteristics and see if which camp you may be falling into. Or if there's someone in your life that you've been witnessing to and you can't figure out why they aren't responding or what the deal might be, maybe they weren't a believer to begin with. So these are some good questions and things to look at that we can apply to our life. You can find today's lesson under the Bible Study tab, Lesson 3, What is a False Convert?